Harris. Little screen here. And Sinkfield's going to score. There's the dagger. It's officially over.
Welcome to Pod's Kiwi. I'm Josh Smith.
I'm Mike Graham.
Wow, Mike, we got a lot to talk about this week. So instead of discussing our movie likes and what we've been doing with our time off, let's just get right into it. It seems like every time we record a show, something happens afterwards. Do you remember we decided to do our last show of 2015, and then 2 days later, that whole coaching thing exploded?
Yeah.
This time, we decided to do a show and then take a couple weeks off because we didn't think there was going to be much to talk about. And I think it was before I even posted the show, and maybe a day after we had recorded, Saskatchewan releases Weston Dressler and John Chick. Pretty surprising, right?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked. You know, Chris Jones came in there and released like 20 players right off the bat, but they weren't top name, you know, fan favorite players like John Chick and Weston Dressler. I just didn't expect to see those two names hitting the free agency market. So I was pretty shocked. And, Ryder fans were pretty disappointed, but some of them got it, I guess, that there was, you know, between them, they were making around $500,000, and that's a lot of money in the CFL. So, and they were due bonuses, I believe, the next day after they were released. So I guess if you look at it like that, it's not that shocking. But from, like, if you're just a Ryder fan and you're loyal to those names, it probably took them by surprise.
Yeah, $500K for two guys, that's a tenth of your salary cap. That's a lot of money to wrap up in two guys, despite how dominant they've been at times. It took me by surprise simply because they're just such big names. And like you said, they cut all those guys earlier, and this talk that they tried to work out like extensions with them to cut their pay down and all this other sorts of stuff, and then you hear from both of the guys when, as we all know, Dressler has signed with Winnipeg and Chick has come here to Hamilton. They both kind of said that they weren't really given an option to negotiate a new contract. And it was basically, here's what we want to pay you. You can either take that or you can be released. And I guess they chose the get released. And they both found jobs rather quickly. You said they were on the free agent market. They're out there for maybe a week, 2 weeks tops. They did not stay unsigned for very long.
No, and I listened to an interview that John Chick did with Saskatchewan Radio, and he sounded kind of pissed off about the whole thing. He said that he was up for dinner with his wife or whatever the night before he was supposed to get the bonus, and they were celebrating because, you know, they thought, this is his words, he thought that the Riders would do the honorable thing, and he said they didn't. So he sounds like he has a big chip on his shoulder, which is good for us in Ticat land, because he might be bringing all he has next year for the Ticats.
So let's talk about where they ended up. Let's get into Chick first. What do you think of Chick signing with the Ticats?
Well, it's, you know, he's been a great player, like one of the best in the league for years. The only question would be his age. You know, he's 33 years old, and that's getting up there in football age. So, you know, it could go either way. He could be on the decline, and it could be not a great signing, or he could defy age and just have such a chip on his shoulder that he's going to show the Riders that they should have kept him, and he's going to bring all he has for the Ticats and, you know, be at the top of the heap in the on the defensive line category this year. So it could go either way. It's a tough call.
Yeah, I feel the same way. The age thing really kind of is where I pause. Just 33, you know, he's younger than I am, but he's not old in like a general sense, but as a football player sense, 33 is getting up there. He has had some success the last few seasons in Saskatchewan. Even last year on a bad team, he had like, I think it was 11 sacks or something like that, but he wasn't the every game stud that he used to be. You know what I mean? Like there were games where he just disappeared sometimes. Maybe that was a product of Saskatchewan just being that bad, and he's going to come to Hamilton, which hopefully we presume is going to be a much better team than Saskatchewan was last year. But yeah, the age thing is what I got hung up on. But hearing him talk, and I didn't hear the Saskatchewan interview that you did. I heard him talk after he signed here. He does seem like he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder and wants to prove the Riders wrong in releasing him. And that, to me, can be a huge motivating factor, and that could be a big plus. So I obviously we both hope that he he exceeds expectations and becomes that dominant force that he was a few seasons ago. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess would be the way that I describe my feelings on John Chick.
Yeah, it's a wait and see thing for sure. He has to prove himself again. That's just the way of pro sports. He's been the best in the league or close to it for years, but it's not what he's done in the past. It's what he's got to do in the present. So hopefully he can bring the defensive line up a notch, because there's a lot of talent on this line for, you know, a couple years now, but I just don't think they've had the results that they wanted. So hopefully he can bring some results for this Ticat defensive line.
So Dressler also found a new home, and this one probably pissed off Rider fans a lot more than Chick signing with the Ticats. He went to Winnipeg. Like, that's going to make that Labor Day weekend matchup between those two super intense, no?
Yeah, I'd say it's already super intense no matter what the records of the teams are. This is just going to bring it up another notch. So it'll be fun to watch the Sunday Labor Day weekend matchup this year for sure.
What do you think his addition does to the Bombers' offense? We talked last time about Paul LaPolice being there and being, you know, a really good offensive coordinator. Now he's got this weapon. Drew Willey stays healthy. I think this Bombers' offense with Dressler as their number one receiver could be rather potent.
You know, they had Nick Moore. I'm not sure if he's going to re-sign. Probably not now. And he's a good receiver, but he just hasn't produced the way that they wished, I think. So maybe this is the missing piece that they needed in the offense. You know, like you said, if Drew Willey can stay healthy and Paul LaPolice, you know, Drew Willey's played with Dressler a bit. He was a backup in Saskatchewan. Paul LaPolice is familiar with Dressler too. So they can probably put a plan together there to make that offense pretty good next year.
Did you ever think you'd see either of these guys wearing different uniforms?
You know, I didn't, but you just got to expect that these days. I mean, pretty much nobody stays with the same team forever in this day and age, because there's just so much movement. You know, I never thought that G-Roy Simon would wear a different uniform, and he was with the Riders for a year. So you just got to expect it these days. It's too bad, because it's kind of cool to see players that are – It would be nice to see a player stick with their team for their whole career, but it just doesn't seem to happen these days.
Well, Dressler and Chick weren't the only guys to switch uniforms. Sean Lemon, who asked for his release from Ottawa to explore NFL opportunities, I don't really know how to put this, but he ended up signing in Saskatchewan, which, last I checked, doesn't play in the National Football League.
No, it's an interesting situation there. You know, I don't know if he was just straight up lying to the Red Blacks and just wanted out, but or if he had NFL term opportunities at all, or what's the deal with that? But it seems a little shady that he was released for NFL opportunities and now he ends up with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So yeah, they got to be pretty pissed off about that in Ottawa.
Did you follow the whole Twitter thing between Lemon and Marcel Desjardins?
I did not. I didn't see that.
Lemon put out this tweet with a screen cap of a text message that was reportedly sent by Desjardins about, yeah, we're going to let you go, but if you want to come back, we'll give you the same money. And then Desjardins came out and said that wasn't my text and it was fabricated. It was just wild. And look, I'm not a big fan of Marcel Desjardins. I've gone on record as saying I think they got lucky last year, Ottawa, frankly. This, to me, just makes him kind of look foolish. He signs this guy to a multi-year contract and then tries to be the nice guy and let him out. Oh, he wants to go try the NFL, so of course we're going to let him out. And I'm kind of glad this bit him in the ass, if I'm being honest, because I went over this last time. I hate when teams do this, and Toronto's notorious for doing it as well. Like, Lemon kind of made himself out to be a bit of a jerk afterwards, but I'm kind of glad that this bit Marcel and the Ottawa Red Blacks in the behind.
I kind of question last year's success of the Red Blacks too. I mean, you know, Desjardins hasn't had the best track record as a GM. So, you know, maybe they did get lucky. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? But we'll see next year if they have the right talent to, if he can bring in more talent, I guess, for next year, and see if he's an actual good GM or if it was just a flash in the pan last year.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so I'm going to lay this out, and I don't mean to diminish what Ottawa did, because winning 12 games and getting to the Grey Cup is an accomplishment, but Montreal imploded. Toronto was a nomad, And Hamilton was running away as the best team in the league until their all-star quarterback blew out his knee. And Ottawa stayed remarkably healthy. Like, I don't know of any players they really lost, like star players that they really lost for any significant amount of time. All those things had to fall into place for Ottawa to make that run. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't deserve to make that run, but that's a lot of good luck on their side that is probably not going to be replicated in 2016. Add on to that that they spent a ton of money in free agency and, to their credit, brought in the right players. They brought in Sir Vincent Rogers. They brought in Chris Williams and all those other receivers, and they were the right choice. But now they've been successful, and they got a bunch of free agents themselves this year, top-notch players. Justin Capicciotti is unlikely to be there. Desjardins come out and said, like, I don't think we're going to be able to afford to sign a bunch of these guys back. So they're going to lose some players and have to replace them with rookies and American free agents and stuff like that, which hurts a team because they're not as cohesive as they used to be and all that other sort of stuff. So when I say I think their success last year was a bit of a fluke, that's why I don't think that they have built the team. I think they built a team that could compete for 1 year really well, but now I think we're going to see them. They've already lost their offensive coordinator, who I've said should get the majority of the credit for how good they were last year, and now they're going to lose some players. I think they're going to fall a little bit back to the pack. Like, winning 12 games is hard. Teams don't win 12 games all the time. But if Hamilton can get some of their guys healthy and get some of their guys back that are free agents, and I think Toronto now with a steady home and Ricky Ray being fully healthy, I think they're the team, in my mind, that might be the favorites in the East right now. And then you got Montreal, which we'll dovetail into right now, brought back Daron Carter. So they're automatically better than they were last year. The East is not going to be as tumultuous as it was last year. So I just don't see Ottawa being able to compete. But let's move on to the Daron Carter thing. That's a big get for the Owls. There was all this talk that he might be going to Winnipeg, and then Montreal scoops in and brings him right back. I guess he just never wanted to leave Montreal. If he was coming back to the CFL, I guess he always wanted to stay in Montreal. That's a huge, huge get for them because he was one of the best receivers in the league when he left.
Absolutely. He was, with the subpar quarterback, he had tremendous numbers. You know, I think his last season in the league, he only played like 10 games and he almost had 1,000 yards or something to that effect. He is a special player and he's going to make a big difference for the Alouettes offense. I think, you know, if Kevin Glenn's running the show there, I think they can be a pretty good team. I think they have the talent there. I think they can rack up some pretty big numbers with a steady Kevin Glenn behind center with Daron Carter and Nick Lewis and, you know, Jaguar and SJ Green. I think they have a pretty potent offense if they have the right quarterback. And Kevin Glenn, say what you will, I know you're a big fan of his, and I like him as well. I think he can. He's a dependable guy. Yes, he hasn't won it all, but that's not all his fault. He can get the job done, and he's better than anything they have in Montreal right now. So I think with him back there and the talent around him, I think they can be a pretty good team.
The knock on Glenn is that he's a quote-unquote 500 quarterback. He's a game manager. Well, if the Alouettes go 9-9, they'll make the playoffs. That would have got him in the playoffs last year. I think BC got in at, what, 7-11?
Yeah.
So 9-9 would have finished fourth in the East last year, but they would have made the playoffs. And then you got like that offense now. That was always the big question mark there. Their defense has been great. Noel Thorpe's running that show. He's back again. All that, you know, mucky muck that went on, but he's back, and that defense still looks like they're going to be pretty good. And now you add Daron Carter to SJ Green, and Nick Lewis is re-signed, so there's a veteran presence. They still have a great run game. I think Montreal could, again, is a team that, again, like I said about Ottawa, they benefited from all these sorts of things happening with other teams. Montreal's going to build themselves back up rather quickly. We're going to find out how good a coach Jim Popp actually is, because with all this talent that they have, if they can at least be close to 500, 8-10, 9-9, stuff like that, how can he stay the head coach? But this Carter signing, excellent move by Montreal.
Yeah, totally agree. He comes into the league and he's got to be, you know, top three talent-wise receivers in the league. So he's going to add a lot to that team.
And defenses are going to have a whale of a time trying to cover those receivers, because you can't double Daron Carter, because then you leave SJ Green open. And if you shade coverage to either of those guys' side, you got Nick Lewis in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's I'm looking forward to watching Montreal play next year.
Yeah, and Nick Lewis, you know, all the jokes aside, he's a great receiver, and he's, you know, he's getting up there in age, but he showed last year that he can still get the job done. So he's still, you know, a threat to catch the ball, get those tough yards, get that, if you need 7 yards, 5 yards, he can make that catch over the middle and, you know, push his way for a couple more yards too. So he's no slouch either. You know, they got rid of Fred Stamps. I don't know where he's going to land, but, he didn't have a great season last year, so I'm pretty sure they dumped his contract so they could, you know, make some room for Jerron Carter. So that's a good exchange for them for sure.
Oh yeah, that's an absolute win for the Alouettes in that. And yeah, we make fun of Nick Lewis for being a fat bastard, but there's no one I'd rather have going across the middle needing to pick up 7 yards than Nick Lewis.
Yeah, and he adds to the offense with his blocking too. I mean, I've never seen a receiver block the way that Nick Lewis does.
Well, it helps when the receiver's the size of an offensive lineman.
Yeah, it does.
So one last little CFL thing, and it's not really even a CFL thing. It's kind of an unfortunate thing we got to touch on before we're getting some Ticat news. But Will Finch, the quarterback of the last few years at Western, has unfortunately retired from football due to concussions. Now, we don't cover a lot of CIS on the show, mostly because we can't watch much CIS because... Yeah. We went in, you know, I remember you ranted about it last year, and everyone can go and listen to that, but it's not really on TV. The thing with Will Finch, though, is in 2012, as a senior in high school, he had yet to even step on a university campus. He was invited to Ticats training camp. Now, I happened to live close to McMaster that year and went and saw a bunch of the Ticat practices. And for a kid who was 18 years old and was out there throwing with grown men. Henry Burris was a quarterback at the time. So we're talking a 36, 37-year-old grown man who's been a professional for 15 or some odd years. Finch did not look out of place, and I remember watching him just being really impressed with how he threw. You could tell he was raw. You really could. But you could see the talent was there, and I thought 4 years ago in that training camp, this is the kid who's going to come from the CIS and be a starter in the CFL. And now, unfortunately, due to concussions, we are never going to see that happen. And that, to me, is a big loss. This guy could have been the face of the CFL if he would have been that Canadian quarterback that came from Canadian University and ended up making it in the pros. And it's kind of a bummer that he's we're never going to see him reach the potential that I think he had.
Yeah, I remember him watching. I remember watching him play in the International Bowl, which is, for people who don't know, it's a junior competition. You know, Canada, the States, and there's some other countries that participate. He played tremendously against, you know, top competition from the States. And I saw him play a couple times at Western on TV. And he was, I also thought that he might be the next one, you know, the next Canadian quarterback, the next Canadian starting quarterback. And yeah, you're right. It's too bad. But I guess that, you know, he made the right decision. If he wasn't sure about his health, you know, you got to be careful with those concussions. So maybe it's a good call on his part. But yeah, I'm disappointed that we never got to see him play in the CFL as a, you know, if he was a backup quarterback, maybe he would have got a chance if someone went down or something like that. Or maybe he just would have been good enough to be a starting quarterback. So yeah, it sucks that we didn't get to see him play. But, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, concussions have taken Finch from the game. John Cornish retired pretty much due to concussions. And I just saw right now on Twitter, Shea Emery has decided to retire also due to concussions. So, man, it just seeing these guys, and obviously, you know, Finch is not in the same conversation as Cornish and Emery because those guys made it to the pros and had great careers. But it's just a shame when talented players have to leave the game early due to injury. It's I hate those what ifs, like what could have beens, and Will Finch is going to be one of those guys who it's a what could have been.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess you got that kid now, the next one maybe, playing for the Thunderbirds, and he was in the NCAA and he transferred to the Thunderbirds. They won the Vanier Cup this year, but his name escapes me. But he seems to be the real deal, so maybe he's the next Canadian quarterback.
The kid who went to
Penn State,
yeah. I can't remember his name either, and I feel like an ass for not knowing what his name is off the top of my head. But yeah, he. I remember watching some of the Vanier last year, and he looked really good. So hey, you know what? The venue's going to be in Hamilton the next 2 years. Maybe UBC gets back there. I'll get a chance to watch him play live, and I can give you a first-hand scouting report on him come next November. Okay, so let's get into some Ticat news. This is a Ticats podcast after all. We've already touched on the John Chick thing, so we won't bring that up again. But the big thing that happened since you and I last sat down is that Kent Austin is staying around for another 4 years. Everyone always makes the joke that Kent, you never know with Kent Austin, he might just up and leave. But another 4-year contract for the head coach, vice president of football operations, and general manager of the team. It sure seems like he wants to be here and wants to be here for a very long time.
Yeah, it's great news for the Ticats, for the organization, you know, for all its fans. I believe that as long as Kent Austin is here, the team will be competitive. You know, I think we'll be in the hunt for the Grey Cup as long as he's here, because he just does such a great job. So, yeah, you know, he bolted from Saskatchewan, you know, to go down to the NCAA. Apparently he had opportunities in the NCAA and in the NFL this time around. So, yeah, he's seems to be fully committed to the Ticats, and his job's not done yet. You know, he has to bring a championship back to Hamilton, or maybe multiple championships. So he's not giving up until that happens, I believe. So it's great to have him back, and he's just brought so much stability to this team, and we're going to be good for the next 4 years, guaranteed, in my opinion.
You said the word that I was going to say right at the end there, stability. Stability at the top just breeds stability elsewhere. He's back. All of his coaches are coming back. And yeah, we're going to lose some players to free agency, but Kent Austin has shown year in and year out, no matter who he's got on his roster, he will win football games. Just look at the resume. 3 Grey Cup appearances, 1 Grey Cup championship. In Hamilton alone, 3 straight trips to the East Final, and they came within, what, a play or two of getting back to the Grey Cup last year with a fourth-string quarterback? For my money, now, especially now that John Huffnagel has gone on up to the front office full-time, and he's no longer the coach, and all due respect to Wally Buono, who is one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach ever, Kent Austin, to me, right now, based on his most recent work, is the best coach in the CFL.
I'd have to agree with that. You know, bias aside, is just look at the past record. It shows he's gonna. I truly believe he's gonna bring another championship back. So he'll have 2 Grey Cups, and you look at the team he won with in 2007. You know, Kerry Joseph led Saskatchewan team. You know, they weren't the best team ever, and they beat the Bombers, who had Dinwiddie as their quarterback in the Grey Cup game. But, you know, the numbers that Kerry Joseph put up that year were just incredible. And then he never, ever came close to that again. So Kent Austin can just get the best out of his players, and he's going to continue to do that for years to come.
By all accounts, Kerry Joseph is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. But holy crap, did his production just fall off a cliff as soon as Austin left Saskatchewan and they traded him to Toronto. Like, he just took a nosedive. And yeah, just like, look, we can sit here and fluff Kent Austin all day. Just as I said, the resume speaks for itself. As long as he's here, the Ticats are going to be in the conversation for the Grey Cup. And considering where we were 10 years ago, constant coaching changes, terrible records, last place finishes, first overall picks, it's really an exciting time to be a Ticat fan.
Yeah, can't take this for, you know, can't take, what am I trying to say here?
Can't take the success for granted?
Yes, thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
More wiser one of the two. Yeah, because, you know, just, you know, the early 2000 years were just terrible. You know, it's been tough being a Ticat fan for pretty much my whole life, except for a couple blips. You know, with the Danny McManus years, Ron Lancaster, Darren Flutie years. But yeah, so you gotta take this all in and just be happy that the team's competitive, because just like that, it could change and we could be at the bottom of the barrel. So yeah, just, you know, take it all in and enjoy this time.
One of the things I find about talented teams and about people who, coaches and GMs who find talented players, is how many guys a CFL team will lose to the NFL. I know that's maybe a bit of a silly thing to put stock in, but the Ticats have lost 2 players to the National Football League since the last time we sat down. Terrell Sinkfield has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. And just yesterday, we found out Eric Harris signed with the New Orleans Saints. What do you think about these moves?
I'm happy for both of them. I mean, a couple years ago, you wouldn't think that Sinkfield would get a chance in the NFL. And now he's with the Vikings. I'm pretty sure that's his home state. Is that correct? Is he from there?
You know what? You keep talking. I'll start looking.
Yeah, so, you know, Sinkfield, he's a talented guy. He proved it last season. He's very dependable, you know, catching the ball. He's a quick, very quick guy, you know, supposedly the fastest 4-4 time in the NFL Combine record. I don't know how truthful that is, but that's what I heard. You know, that was a couple of years ago, so I don't know if he's still that fast. But, yeah, I hope that he gets, you know, I hope he sticks with the Vikings and has a good career down there. And Eric Harris signing with the Saints, you know, Delvin Bro signed with the Saints last year. He had a great season for them. Maybe they're looking at that saying, hey, they're, you know, breeding pretty talented players in Hamilton. So they snatched up another player from the Ticats, and I hope he does well as Bro did. You know, I'm a little bit surprised that he got signed by an NFL team, but I hope him all the best.
So, to answer your question, Terrell Sinkfield is from Minnesota.
Okay, yeah.
And he's from Minnetonka, Minnesota, which every time I see Minnetonka, I think of, and we're going to go off the rails here a bit. Do you ever watch Chappelle's Show?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see the skit with Prince playing basketball?
Yes,
and the pancakes? Remember Dave Chappelle's Prince talking about bathing himself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. And Minnesota, such, like, they got some weird names there. There's some funny names up there. But yeah, every time I see Minnetonka, that's the only thing I could think of. And that to me is one of the funniest sketches I've ever seen. It's one of the funniest things, period, I've ever seen him playing basketball as Prince. If you haven't seen it out there, anyone who's listening, you haven't seen the Chappelle Show sketch with it was Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories.
Yeah, I think was that the everyone knows the Rick James one. Was that the only two True Hollywood Stories that they did, or is there a couple other ones?
As far as I can remember, those are the only two, and I think they did it back to back weeks. The Rick James one was the more popular one because I'm Rick James, bitch.
Yeah,
that was like T-shirts, that was everywhere. Yeah. But I think the Prince one might even be funnier. Because of how ridiculous it comes off as.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, go out and watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. I'm sure you know someone who probably has Chappelle's Show on DVD. Find it, watch it. You're going to laugh your ass off. But I'm kind of with you on Harris being surprised that he got an NFL deal. Not because I don't think he's a talented player. I'm kind of curious as to where he fits. Because he's a linebacker DB. He played the wide side linebacker spot, which is a bit of a coverage linebacker spot.
Yep.
In the CFL, he seems like he'd be too small to play linebacker in the NFL, but he's not fast enough to play corner or nickel in the NFL. So maybe a safety, perhaps. He's a big dude, but Cam Chancellor of the Seahawks he's like 6'5", and maybe that's the prototype that people want to sort of go towards now. Cam Chancellor's a great player for the Seahawks. Maybe Harris plays safety. I think he's probably going to make most of his time on special teams. Guys in the CFL play all over the place, and Harris definitely played special teams up here. I say this with all love in my heart. I hope we never see these guys play in the CFL again. I hope they have long, successful careers in the NFL, and we can look back and go, hey, those once upon a time we watched these guys play. But yeah, so best of luck to both of them.
For sure, and if things don't work out, I'm sure they'll be you know, if they come back to the CFL, I'm sure they'll want to come back to the Ticats. So, you know, if we see them again, that's great. If we don't, that's also great.
So losing some guys brings us into the meat of the show this week, and that is free agency is upon us. February 9th, next Tuesday, free agency opens, and there's like 200 or something players out there. It's insane how many guys are currently unsigned that this could be one of the wildest free agent frenzies, quote unquote, that we've seen in quite some time. So I figured we'll bring a little order to this chaos. And instead of just going all over the place, wondering about who's going to go where and all that sort of stuff, we'll keep it Ticat centric. Yeah. Now I came up with an idea and we both sat down and we've written our lists. So let's start with the three players that you want to see remain in Hamilton. Give us your first player on your list, Mike.
I'm not going to go with the obvious. I got to go Courtney Steven. I mean, this guy, I heard that he's getting looks in the NFL a while back, but he's such a young player that's been improving each year. Yet he's a Canadian, which is a big thing in the CFL to help out the ratio. But he's a great player already, and I think he can be even greater. So I'd love to see Courtney Steven back in black and gold in the secondary for the Ticats.
Yeah, Courtney Steven, to me, I voted for him as the team's most outstanding Canadian last year simply because of how much he had improved. And he's playing out of position. He is a natural safety. That's what he played at Laurier, and that's what he played a bit of when he went down to the NFL and played for Northern Illinois. You know, he had his bumps in the road his first season, because they moved him to corner when they signed Craig Butler, and Craig Butler is a safety. He had a few bumps in the road when he first started there in 2014, but last year he was phenomenal. And yeah, I really hope we see him back here. I'm not sure he's going to come back, but I hope he does. The NFL looks, maybe he gets a shot down there. I could honestly see a team like Toronto. He's a Brampton kid, so maybe they kind of use the, like when we signed Andy Fantuz all those years ago, it was kind of, oh, well, he can move closer to home. And yeah, Hamilton's not that far from Brampton either, but Toronto's a little bit closer, and they could really use a player like Steven in their secondary. So as much as it would pain me to see him wear double blue, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up there.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me either. I mean, like you said, Brampton boys, pretty close to Toronto. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of free agents that haven't been signed by the Ticats yet, and it's getting close to that February 9th date. So I'm getting a little bit concerned with some of these guys.
Okay, so the elephant in the room, and I don't mean this in a weight sense, is Ted Laurent. Obviously, I didn't include him on my list. Did you put him on yours?
Yeah, he's on
okay.
there.
Okay, so let's talk about him now, just simply because I didn't put him on because I think obviously. He's the best interior defensive lineman in the CFL, so I think we obviously want to see him back. So the first guy I put on my list is another defensive tackle, and it's Brian Baalke. And I know he's coming off basically missing the last, year and a half of his career. I think it was a bicep injury at first, and last year he hurt his knee like the second day of training camp and didn't get a chance to play. But he's a guy who, before Ted Laurent came in 2014, Baalke was the guy in the middle, the Canadian guy in the middle. That was the, you know, the run stuffer and was the guy opening holes for the linebackers to make all their plays. And he was really, really good in 2013. He was a key member of the defense that got that team to the Grey Cup that year. Surprise return to the Grey Cup after a 15-year absence or whatever the heck it was when they finally got back there in 2013. So he's a guy who I injuries have you know, kind of pushed him to the back of the mind, and he's a guy that I always really liked, and I really hope we see him back here.
Maybe that's why Ted Laurent hasn't been re-signed yet. You know, maybe Austin is thinking we can get a little cheaper in the middle with they have Gadosh still, they have Baalke. I mean, yeah, maybe that's his mindset, that we're going to let Ted Laurent go and get a little cheaper, but maybe get close to the results that Big Teddy had in the middle. Yeah, I know that's, you know, tough to do because he's, you know, one of the best in the league, but maybe that's what Austin is thinking.
It's possible. So let's talk about Ted. You said he's on your list. Let's talk about him now then. I've already said, obviously, he's the guy we want back, and I think you might be right. Maybe it's, hey, if we can get – Laurent's going to – he's going to command a big salary. Like, I'm talking top of the heap, top non-quarterback money is what this guy's going to get. But give us the reasons why you want him back.
He's such a force in the middle. I mean, he's just – he gets sacks. He gets pressure on the quarterback, which isn't always a thing that defensive tackles do because, you know, their main – job is tough in the run, but he does a great job of both. He's just, and he's a Canadian, so he's one of the best, and he's Canadian. He just, you know, I'd love to see him back. He's a great player. He's going to command so much money that I don't know if he's going to be back or not.
Let's work on the assumption that he's too rich for the Ticats and he decides to play elsewhere. I think personally he's headed to Saskatchewan. Chris Jones is there. You know how much he loves his run stuffing big middle clogging defensive tackles. And they just released John Chick, Wesley Dresser, so they have some money to spend. Oh, they also restructured Darian Durant's contract, so he's making less money. I think that's a very real possibility. And I know, Sean, again, Sean Lemon acting up on like a fool on Twitter. Apparently sent out a tweet last week saying he had talked to Teddy and that he was signing in Saskatchewan. And then he came out and said he was joking and everyone started calling him a jackass and all that stuff. But Laurent to Saskatchewan makes sense for me. Where do you think he might end up?
Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. Saskatchewan has money to toss around now. So Saskatchewan, I could see Winnipeg. I think they're really trying to go for it this year. I know they had the Grey Cup in Winnipeg last year, and they gave it a go to go for it all last year. But I think they might be serious contenders this year. So I think they might be throwing some money at Teddy Laurent as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in the blue and gold either. My next guy is another guy who is Canadian and has dealt with, unfortunately, more than his fair share of injuries. But I want to see Andy Fantuz come back. If this guy could ever put together even just like 15 or 16 games in a season, he would go back to being the number one Canadian receiver in the CFL. Like, his numbers last year, obviously, he missed, what, like 10 games? Like, he missed a lot of time last year. He wasn't a focal point of the offense, but he got hurt early in the season. By the time he came back, Caleros was out. It wasn't his best year, but when Andy Fantuz is healthy and on his game, I don't want to say unstoppable, but he is a beast. He's a beast.
Yeah, he's one of the best when he's on his game, and he's going to have to take a pay cut, I think, wherever he plays, because he's getting a lot of money right now. And, you know, he deserves that money if he could stay healthy. And, you know, it's not his fault, obviously. But he needs to play, like you said, you know, 14, 15, 16 games. Can't be gone for half the season. It's just teams are going to shy away from that. They're not going to give him as much money. So I think he's going to have to lower his salary a bit. But if he does, you know, I'd love to see him back with the Ticats. It just sucks that he can't seem to stay healthy. And it's one thing, you know, he had the concussion the 1 year. And then last year he injured his elbow. So it's just like different things that are happening to him that are causing the injuries. And it's just too bad because he's one of the best receivers in the league if he's healthy.
I agree. Incentive-based, performance-based contract with a decent base salary, but then a lot of incentives to make him, you know, if he stays healthy and he performs at the level that we know he can perform at, then he will make all his money that he deserves. But yeah, it's been tough. It's like 4 years ago when he came to Hamilton, he was the free agent prize. And now 4 years later, if you look at these lists that people have been putting out of the top free agents, you know, top Canadians, top overall free agents, top everything, he's not even being mentioned.
No.
So again, maybe this is a guy that you get similar to John Chick, hopefully back here in Hamilton, a little bit lower money, incentive-based deal, and he comes in with a chip on his shoulder and wants to prove to everyone that he can still be the guy when it comes to Canadian receivers.
You know, we have SG Watt, or what? We have Watt in the mix. It's too bad that he got injured last year because I think that he has quite a bit of a potential too. So yeah, I'd love to see Fantuz back just because he's been with the team for a long time, and I think he still has a lot to contribute.
And honestly, I would really want him to be on the team that finally wins the Grey Cup.
Yeah,
that guy has dealt with, what is it, 4 Grey Cup losses.
Mm-hmm.
He won one with Saskatchewan in 07, but then since then I think he's lost 4. And that there's some guys who you just want to see be successful, and I would love nothing more than to see him be on this team when they finally got over the hump and won the Grey Cup.
You know, the ways that he lost the Grey Cup in Saskatchewan, 13th man, and then he lost the Grey Cup with Hamilton on the punt return that was brought back. So he's won in pretty heartbreaking fashion. So yeah, I'd love to see him be with this team when they finally get over the hump.
So who is your third of 3 players that you hope the Ticats bring back?
I might get a little bit heat for this because he's not really a position player, but Justin Medlock.
that's my guy too. So let's talk about Justin Medlock.
Yeah, he's just so dependable. I mean, I don't remember, you know, since Ozzy, he's just the best kicker that the Ticats have had in years and years and years. And, you know, he does the punting too. I know that they brought in Hugh O'Neill last year to do it, but he's not the best punter in the world. But, you know, for field goals, he can't beat him. You know, he's the best in the league. He's the most dependable. Swayze Waters is close, but he just he's not as good as Medlock. I mean, he connected, I think, for, 42 or 47 field goals last year, 89% success rate. So, you know, that's just incredible numbers. You can't duplicate that success in the free agent market.
This is a heart pick, honestly, because there are some knocks on Medlock's game, and it's the punting. And as an American, if you're not going to do all three, punting, kickoffs, and field goals well, it's tough to bring him back. But he is so darn good at the field goals that I kind of forgive the fact that he's a mediocre to average punter. Like, I don't want to see the team punt anyway. And I know that's unrealistic, because obviously at some point they're going to have to punt. But I just keep thinking back to the East semifinal, and he trots out there, and I had no doubt in my mind he was going to hit that field goal. There's never been a moment when Justin Medlock, either when his first stint with Hamilton or since he came back, that I've ever felt nervous when he's gone out to kick. And I couldn't say the same thing about Luka Kongi when he was here, or, you know, the myriad guys that were between Ozzy and Medlock. If there's a sense of calm about him when he comes out on the field. He does, the moment's not too big for him. He's got a booming leg. He makes all the kicks. Yeah, I just want to see. I again, like Fantuz, I want him to be on this team when they win a championship because he deserves it. I just want to see the guy back. I just like him. I can't help it.
Like, he has a booming leg, so like, if you need that field goal to win the game, he's going to make it, more than likely. I don't feel nervous when he's out there either. You know, repeating you, Kongi made me nervous. He couldn't make the 45, 50-yard field goal usually. And, you know, Medlock, I am comfortable with him kicking beyond 50 yards. So he's a kicker, but he just brings so much to the team, so many points that he puts up on the board. So I want to see him back just as much as you do.
Okay, so let's get into the fun part. And this is players we want to see come to Hamilton. So let's start. Who's the number one player on your list that you want to see wearing black and gold in 2016?
Well, not in particular number one, number two, number three, but Josh Bourque. I want to see him. Maybe we don't need a lot of help on the offensive line. Maybe there's already a guy in his position that is a starter, but I just believe that you can't have enough talent on the offensive line, and there's offensive linemen get injured a lot. And if you give a mediocre quarterback with mediocre receivers a lot of time, they're going to make plays. And we have better than a mediocre quarterback and mediocre receivers. So if you give them a lot of time, they're going to pretty much be unstoppable. So I just want as much talent on that offensive line as possible.
Took the words right out of my mouth, man. Josh Bourque is my number one target. I don't know if he's going to leave Montreal, but if he is, oh, man, would I love to see him play for the Ticats. I know he's another guy getting up there in age, but for offensive linemen, can play a really long time and still be, you know, at the top of their game. But everything you said, just and in addition to that, he's a Canadian. So now you start four guys on the offensive line. There's a lot of Canadian guys that the Ticats could potentially lose. We've named Bulky and Steven and Fantuz and obviously Laurent. Those are four big-name Canadian guys, starting caliber Canadians, that could be elsewhere next year. So they're going to need to get some Canadians. Starting four offensive line Canadians is huge. And Bourque, to me, is the number one offensive line target because of how good he is, but also because he's Canadian.
Absolutely. He's proven himself over the years in Montreal, and he'd be a great addition to the Ticats offensive line.
And, you know, he's from Windsor. I know that's, you know, pretty far from Hamilton, but it's a lot closer to home than Montreal is. And
yeah,
I don't know. I still, in my heart of hearts, I think he's going to stay in Montreal. He's been there forever, but maybe they're looking to move on, maybe get a little younger and, on like a 2-year contract, I think that could be a huge signing for the Ticats. So who's the next guy up on your list?
You know, I think that we're going to be, you know, Eric Harris gone, Taylor Reed not signed yet. You know, I'd like to see them bring in J.C. Sherritt. I mean, he's a great linebacker. Maybe he plays the same position as Simone Lawrence. I'm not sure.
I think Sherritt's more of a middle linebacker, whereas Lawrence is the strong side guy. I think Sherritt and Lawrence can both play multiple positions, but I think you can definitely put those two guys on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I think they'd be a pretty good combination to have. You know, maybe he's a little bit too much. But you never know with the, all the players that haven't been resigned yet. They'll have, you know, quite a bit of cash to throw around if they don't start re-signing their own players. So, yeah, I'd like to see him in black and gold. I'm not sure if he's going to sign back with Edmonton. You know, he's been there. He's been here forever. So, but he's a great player, and I'd like to see him with the Ticats.
Yeah, I honestly had never really given consideration to Sherrod. I just maybe always assumed he was going to sign back in Edmonton, but... Yeah, you kind of make a really good case for bringing him here. And, oh, man, a linebacking core, as much as it would suck to lose the guy, like we've already lost Harris and Reed could go who I'd like as a player. But he's one of those like middle-of-the-road free agents that they kind of don't talk about at this. He's not a superstar is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Good player, but he's not that like first-tier A1 guy that you got to bring in. But, man, J.C. Sherrod, that would be a big get for the Ticats.
Yeah, I think so. You know, if they're not going to bring back those guys, you know, they can't bring back Harris because he's already signed, but they're not going to bring back Reed. You know, I don't know if they're thinking going Canadian, putting a Canadian player at linebacker. With, you know, Plessis has been there for a while. I don't know if they're thinking about putting him in a starting position, but if not, I mean, if Sherrod's out there, why not make an offer and, you know, try to get him into black and gold, you know?
Yeah. Excellent. I'm going to Edmonton as well for my next guy, and... You can never have too many talented Canadian players, and Shamat Chambers looks like he's ready to take the leap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was most valuable Canadian in the Grey Cup, but he only had, like, two catches for, like, 50-something yards, and it was kind of like he won the award because someone had to win the award.
Yeah.
But he has got all the talent in the world, and again, injuries have just derailed him, but I remember when he came out of Laurier, faster than a speeding bullet. I don't know if he can leap tall buildings in a single bound, but he might not be Superman, but he's a talented guy, and Simone Lawrence is like best buddies with this guy and has been on Twitter all winter just hounding him and recruiting him to come to Hamilton. Out of all the guys that we're going to mention here, he's the guy that I actually think is going to sign with the Ticats.
Like you said, he came out of university. There's a lot of high expectations, you know. There, I was expecting a lot from him, and... The injuries have derailed his career a bit, but I still think that there's a ton of potential. He's still fairly young, and he can be a really great player in this league, I believe. So I wouldn't have any problem with him signing in Hamilton. I think that his career is ready to take off if he can just stay healthy. So, yeah, I think he's a top-end Canadian receiver if given the chance.
Well, and the Ticats receiving corps, with losing Sinkfield, now needs some speed. They need a guy that can take the top off of defense. Now, maybe with Sinkfield leaving, maybe Brandon Banks becomes more a part of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, they still want to keep him as a special teams guy. Chambers is the guy that can take a top off of defense with his speed and could be a massive weapon for the Ticats offense. I do think that on the 9th or 10th, We're gonna see a press release that he has signed with the Ticats. If I'm gonna make a bold prediction of anything to do with free agency, that's the one. Shamat Chambers will be in black and gold in 2016.
Interesting. Now my third pick is a BC Lion, Chris Rainey. Watching him play last year was just fun. You know, I know that Brandon Banks is a return guy and he's the guy, but I think that Chris Rainey could bring a lot to an offense with his speed. And his abilities, just the way he runs, he can, you know, juke and jive, and he can make people miss. So I'd like to see this guy in black and gold. I think he can be a huge weapon for the Ticats offense.
Another guy I never really considered because, as you said, Brandon Banks is here.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, again, you can never have too many talented players, and Rainey is definitely talented. He might be a knob off the field. I don't really want to get into that. I have my problems with some of the things that I've heard about him off the field. If you could just Google Chris Rainey arrests and see what I mean. It's very disturbing. Some of the things that he has been accused of. That said, everyone deserves a second chance. He's come up here and he was really good with BC last year, like supremely good. And I think he was with Montreal before that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe he was traded for Logan, Steph Logan.
Yeah, I think you're right. Or like they released him to bring Logan. I can't remember the exact cause that switched those two guys' teams. But yeah, and he's explosive. I would like to see him here because I think he could contribute. He also can play running back. So with CJ Gable, you know, we're always kind of concerned about CJ Gable's health. Mm-hmm. That's a guy that you could plug in. I just – maybe he might command too much money. I don't know. But, you know, Edmonton got Kendall Lawrence back last year, and I don't think that cost them that much. Rainey is kind of like Kendall Lawrence, so maybe he could end up here. If he does, I'd be a little surprised, but I think I'd be pretty enthused. Could you imagine having those two guys back on a kick or a punt return and you don't know who you got to stop? That'd be pretty dynamite.
Because he had at least two or three kick return touchdowns last year. So, you know.
Didn't he have two in one game, like a kick and a punt? And like long ones, like 90-plus yards.
Yeah, I believe so. So, you know, who would you kick it to Banks and kick it to Rainey, you know? Yeah, they might be too similar of players for him to bring in, but I think that he could do a lot. Give it screen passes to him. Crossing routes, you know, he could do a lot for the Tiger offense. So maybe it's a long shot, but I think he could be a pretty explosive player.
Well, I respect you for thinking outside the box. That's definitely welcome around these parts because hey, what's fun in just picking the guys who everyone's picking, right?
Exactly.
So my last one, I don't know if you consider it outside the box, but Hamilton's secondary could be rather decimated. Manuel Davis is a free agent. Courtney Steven, as we've already touched on, is a free agent. Brandon Stewart, Jaleel Carter. I'm sure I'm missing some other people. But there's a guy out in Edmonton. Again, I keep dipping into Edmonton.
Grimy.
Yeah, exactly. They won the Grey Cup, so obviously they have some talented players out there. And as you just heard him say, grimy, Aaron Grimes. There's a guy who you lose Emmanuel Davis, you bring in Aaron Grimes. I don't think you lose a beat.
No, Grimes is a great player in the secondary. I mean, he really stood out last year amongst a talented bunch. So, yeah, it'd be great to see him in black and gold. He, like you said, if we lose Davis or Jill Carter or whomever, bringing him in would be a big addition for the Ticats.
Davis and Grimes were the two league all-star DBs. So, swap one for the other. I want to see Davis come back or maybe have a both. I don't know. I'm just saying, Grimes, I think Grimes could be a target. He's going to have a lot of suitors in free agency because he had a pretty big year last year. So,
but, yeah, he was getting looks down south as well.
Yeah, I think maybe that's why a lot of these guys haven't signed. Is they're still, like we just saw Eric Harris sign with the Saints so recently, like so close to the start of free agency. Usually these guys sign a lot earlier, like Aaron Rodgers signed with San Francisco, which we didn't talk about at all, but I'm super excited about being a 49ers fan. Eric Rodgers, in a Chip Kelly offense, that could be pretty exciting for me to watch next year. And I'm trying to think of some other CFL guys that we saw go down. Well, Sinkfield signing with the Vikings happened a little while ago, so maybe some of these guys are not signing with their CFL clubs because they are getting these NFL looks. So maybe we're going to see a flood of re-signings right on the eve of free agency, you know?
Yeah, it could be, or the day of, you know, could be an interesting free agent market on February 9th.
Okay, so I made a bold prediction about something I thought was going to happen, and we didn't discuss this before the show, so I'm flying off the cuff here, and I'm gonna ask you, give me one bold prediction for free agency, one guy who you think is going to go somewhere, maybe stays in Hamilton, maybe go somewhere else. Put it out there so that we can make fun of each other the next time we sit down and record how wrong we were.
All right, let's see here. I'm going to say Jeff Fuller to the Argonauts.
Jeff Fuller to the Argonauts. Okay, why is that?
I just had a feeling there. You know, I don't know why. I was looking through the top 30 list they have here, and I just thought, Jeff Fuller would probably be a pretty good addition to the Argonauts offense. You know, with Ricky Ray tossing the ball, he has his injury troubles, but I don't know why. I just said that. Threw it out there. Jeff Fuller to the Argonauts.
All right. The Argos don't dip their toes in the free agency waters very often, but was that a product of an owner who didn't want to spend any money? We're going to find out.
Barker, has gone on the record saying that he thinks you overspend for free agents. So I don't know if he was handcuffed by the ownership or that's just his philosophy. But I mean, I guess that makes it even more bold if that is his philosophy because he doesn't really dip his toe in the free agent market.
Yeah. He's not wrong. You do overspend to bring in free agents. But I just wonder, like I said, was it a product of Braley saying, we're not spending a lot of money, so that's why he had to do that? He can say he doesn't like to spend money in free agency, but he did make a trade to get Ricky Ray there, which wasn't cheap. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't exactly free agency, but it's not like the salary of, like, what was it, Steven Giles, Grant Shaw, and a draft pick?
Yeah.
That salary going west to Edmonton wasn't the same as the salary coming east to Toronto. So, yeah, I don't know. We're going to find out this offseason if the new ownership in Toronto allows for them to spend a little bit more money.
I think they will. I hope so.
So
but,
it's,
you know, not to their success, but you know,
so it's going to be fun. Free agency kicks off Tuesday, February 9th. It came so quickly. It just seems like yesterday we were sitting here talking about Edmonton winning the Grey Cup, and now we're already right in the middle of the off season and free agency is about to start. And the next thing you know, the schedule will get released, and then we'll be making our plans to go watch games. It comes awfully quick.
Yeah, I'm looking, you know, I always look forward to the schedule being released, but I'm, now that I'm in a CFL city, I'm looking forward to it a little bit more because
I get to go to games.
Yes, I can plan, take my days off work when the Tiger Cats come to Edmonton and to Calgary, so pretty pumped for that.
Excellent, excellent. So that's our little free agency preview. I am looking forward to hearing from people. What do they think? Some of you listeners out there, please don't feel any sort of hesitation and hitting either of us up and giving us your thoughts on who you want to see stay in Hamilton or who you think will come to Hamilton or any sort of thing. We didn't touch on a ton of players. Like Chad Owens is still a free agent. Could you imagine if he signed in Hamilton? Oh, good Lord. But there's still a ton of guys there to talk about. yeah, but you want to talk about Chad Owens?
Well, we could. I mean, he's not signed yet. He's been a staple with the Argonauts, you know, probably been his, besides Ricky Ray, been the number one star there for years and years. So it's interesting that he hasn't been signed yet. Maybe he's commanding too much money. Maybe he'll be in a different uniform next year.
He did move to Toronto, too. He lives there. So if he's going to make a move, I honestly could see him coming here.
I really could.
And the only reason I'm kind of okay with it now is after months ago we had that talk about Ricky Foley and then how he was a jerk and then I've always disliked Chad Owens, but then you gave us that really nice story about him when you met him in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of softened on Chad Owens, but I still don't want to see him here, but I could see it happening. I'm hoping it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, you're right. It does make a little bit of sense now that he's living in Toronto. If he's not going to be in Toronto, you know, the closest thing is obviously Hamilton. So I don't necessarily want to see him with the Ticats either. I don't necessarily think we need him. But if it happens, I wouldn't, be screaming at a cloud like Abe Simpson or anything.
Yeah, that's the one saving grace. I really don't think the Ticats need much in the way of American receivers. So as much as I just get a gut feeling that he's going to come here, but my gut's usually wrong. Like, if we go back and look at our bold predictions from last year, I'm sure I got, like, one or two right. So my gut's usually incorrect. So hopefully I'm incorrect on this. But it's going to be fun on Tuesday sitting around just seeing who signs where and what goes on. And that's always a great time as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, for sure. It's a highlight of the off season.
So we got a few questions here, some interesting ones. I got them this week. We did get a couple on Twitter, and I want to thank Andrew and Joe for providing them. But I think we kind of touched on your questions when we talked about free agency, so we're going to skip them this week. But thanks for submitting them anyway. So here we go. I got one. Is the 2016 free agency period a buyer's market or a seller's market? Buyers being the teams, obviously, and sellers being the players. What do you think?
Oh, there's just so many out there. I think it's a buyer's market just because of the amount of free agents. There's a lot of talent out there, so I think that teams will be I think there'll be a lot of trading teams, players going to different teams, and there's going to be a lot of owner GM salivating at some of these free agents. Maybe not Jim Barker because he doesn't really dip his toe in free agency we talked about, but a lot of the teams are going to be losing players, so they're going to want to obtain players from free agents. So, yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of buying going on.
I think it's simply a buyer's market because there's so many players available.
Yeah.
And there's a finite amount of money. It's a salary cap league. So I think you're going to see some guys who would normally command a lot higher salary end up settling for a lot less and maybe even heading back to the teams that they were with. Simply because are they going to relocate for 10, 15, 20,000 more? Some of these guys end up staying for less money simply because why should I uproot myself to go somewhere else when it's not that big a difference? Also, with the sinking Canadian dollar, I think we are seeing we're going to see a lot of interesting things happen. Like, these guys get paid in Canadian dollars, and mm-hmm. a vast majority of them live in the United States. I think that could play a role, and probably has played a role. And the reason why we haven't seen guys resign, maybe guys are thinking, well, if I'm going to make $100,000 as an example, but you know it's 69 cents on the dollar or 68 cents, whatever it is. I'm only bringing, like, maybe they're thinking, maybe I'm just going to move on to the next part of my career and say goodbye to football. I don't know. But, yeah, it's definitely, to answer the question, I think it's definitely a buyer's market.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, it's tough for those American players, you know, making the Canadian dollars, and it's not nearly as much when you bring it back to the States. So maybe there's going to be more players moving permanently to Canada. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, not to get into financial talks, but you know, the Canadian dollar a couple of years ago was pretty much on par or more than the American dollar. Now it's just taking a nosedive, so it's got to be tough on those American players. And yes, it will affect the CFL and the free agent market.
Yeah, absolutely. So that question came from Bill in Burlington. I always forget when I do the questions, because you always do them and you're so good at it, I always forget to shout out the guys that brought him in. So that question came from Bill in Burlington. We have two questions from Gregory here. The first one is, with the current coaching situations and based only on coaching, what are your predictions for the end of the 2016 season? Obviously, this is ridiculously early, but what the hell? Why don't we just make some quick predictions here on where we see the 2016 season going based solely on the coaching staffs?
Well, that's such a tough, you know, I got to go Homer, I got to go Hamilton with Ken Austin, and, you know, bringing back Condell and Steinhauer and Jeff Reinbold. You know, there's so much cohesion there and such a talented group. I got to go them. And it's tough in the West if we're just going with coaching, because Chris Jones basically just brought his staff from Edmonton over to Saskatchewan. But I guess we're just going based on coaching. I'm going to go with Saskatchewan, because if we're not looking at any of the players, I think that the, you know, Edmonton's coaching staff was pretty good last year, and if it's brought over to Saskatchewan, then they'd probably be the best coaching staff in the West, because Hofnagel's gone. You don't know how well Dickinson's going to do as a head coach. Mike O'Shea, jury's still out on him. Wally Buono, yes, he's maybe the best head coach that this league has ever seen, but does he have the staff with him that can bring the BC Lions up another notch? And, you know, Edmonton with Jason Moss, he's new too, and new staff there. So, yeah, for going based on just coaching staffs, I'm going Hamilton, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, the West is so volatile with all those moves. You made an argument, like a great argument for everything. Like, Calgary's a question mark because of Dickinson. Will he be able to make the move from offense coordinator to head coach? Moss, same thing. Will he be able to make the move from offense coordinator to head coach? And especially after only having, like, at least Dickinson had a few years as an offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and has been on that coaching staff in Calgary forever, so he knows the players. Buono, yeah, a bit of a wild card. What does he have left after being, he's been off the sidelines, 4 years? That's a long time in coaching. A lot of things have changed since he was last on there. And I always remember, and this may mean nothing, but he never wore a headset on the sidelines. And it's like, could you imagine a head coach not wearing a headset? It's almost unthinkable, but I recall he never wore a headset. I guess that means he gives his offensive, defensive, and special teams coordinators free rein to do what they do. And then, yeah, O'Shea is, you know, based on results so far, is not very good. So do you give it to Jones because of the recent success? It's really tough. I'm going to go a bit outside the box. I'm going to say BC, because I'm going to have faith in Wally that, you know, he won the Grey Cup the last time he was on the sidelines. I think he can get the guys there to play, but based solely on coaching, I'm going to go with Wally. And in the East, to me, it comes down to Hamilton and Toronto. Toronto's coaching staff got better with the Stubler replacing Casey Crehan, and Hamilton's coaching staff is the exact same, and we know how good they are. I discount Montreal because I don't think Jim Popp's a very good head coach. The staff there is decent, although I think it's Calvillo's still the offensive coordinator, correct?
Yeah, he's still there.
That to me is, I don't know, that seems really quick to be giving him the reins to the offense. Noel Thorpe, obviously great defensive coordinator. Kavis Reed has proven to be a really good special teams coordinator. So the staff there is okay, but there's too many question marks at head coach and with Calvillo. And then Ottawa, Rick Campbell, yeah, he's a good head coach, but they bring in Jamie Elizondo as the offensive coordinator. And again, I just don't have a lot of faith in that. And I've said time and time again how much I think Jason Moss deserves the credit for their turnaround. So I kind of knocked those two teams out. So it comes down to me between Hamilton and Toronto. And yeah, to hell with it. I'm going Homer, and I'm saying the continuity on the staff in Hamilton pushes them ever so slightly above the Argos. But the Argos, to me, are in the mix. And sitting here right now, not knowing what player movements are going to happen, I think we might be seeing a rematch of the 2013 East Final and the 2016 East Final. I think these two teams are headed on a collision course. And if they stay healthy and they can get all their players, I think those are the best two teams in the East. So, yeah, give me the Ticats just slightly, very, very, very slightly ahead of the Argos. But I expect a lot of Toronto this year. Oh, that hurt to say.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it's just they're going to be pumped up to play at a new stadium in front of, hopefully, sellout crowds. So it's going to be a different situation in Toronto next year. And they have some talent there. So they could be a contender once again in the East.
Hey, and if the conspiracy theorists are to be believed, the league is going to manufacture some way to get Toronto to win the Grey Cup because it's in Toronto like they did 4 years ago with Ricky Ray.
Yeah.
So we might as well not even play the season. The Argos are going to win the Grey Cup because it's in Toronto, because, you know, that's how it always has to happen.
Yeah, just skip all 18 games and all the playoff games and just go straight to the Grey Cup.
Just give them the cup. Just give them the cup. We all know it's going to happen because that's how it works, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun, and that is it for this week. I'm guessing, what do you think? Maybe a couple weeks from now, after we've had a few free agent signings, we should get back in this? Because I just got emails and tweets and after tweets about, when are you guys recording again? When are you guys recording again? When are you guys recording again? I think we may have taken too long of a break last time, so maybe we'll keep it maybe two, maybe 3 weeks at most. But yeah. people are loving us out there. I'm going to say it's mostly you, because I got my fair share of people who don't like me, but I'm going to put all the praise on you. You're the reason people want to tune into the show.
Well, yeah, obviously. No, just joking. No, but, you know, people just want to hear CFL talk. There's not enough of it in our media. So, you know, goofballs like us have to take over and talk some CFL, you know. And didn't you have one more question about the theaters or something?
Oh, you're right. I completely forgot about the theater question. Oh, I was ready to just say to hell with it. But, yeah, you're right. We have this one. I guess last time we sat down, I talked about movies and all that sort of stuff, and we had the Star Wars conversation. It's brought about movies. So one last question is a small one. Have you ever watched a movie in the D-Box seats?
I have not. You know, I thought to myself, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be, you know, shooking around and the seat moving about and all that stuff. I guess I'm just old school and just want to, you know, sit in a seat that doesn't have a mind of its own, you know?
I'm the exact same way. I was considering when I went and saw Jurassic World, and I'm thinking, that's, you know, if you're going to see a movie in D-Box, it's got to be an action movie. It has to be. Like, what's the point of going and seeing, like, I don't know, The Hateful Eight in a D-Box seat if you're just like, they don't jostle around there. But you're watching dinosaurs roam around, you're getting tossed around. That would make sense. But then, yeah, same thing. Like, do I really want to be sitting there with, like, a soda and, like, some snacks or whatever? And I know I've said I'm not a big snack guy at the theater, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to spill stuff on myself. I'm a clod at the best of times when I'm standing still. I'm jerking me around. I'm going to end up throwing pop on someone's face, probably my own.
Mm-hmm.
I spill cheese on myself if I eat nachos. Like, I'm just sitting in a damn chair. So, no, I've never tried. I've thought of it, but I've never actually tried the D-Box seats. Maybe one day if I'm feeling adventurous. But, I just don't think the idea of being jerked around while you're watching a movie is all that fun.
Yeah, it's just maybe we're old school. You know, it's the same way with the, you know, playing video games. You know, I don't want to be jumping around, and, you know, I just want to sit in my seat and have my controller and just sit there and not, you know, too much activity. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, we're old men.
I know. But that's the way it is.
Yeah. D-Box and video games. It's a young man's game, apparently.
Yeah. You know, but maybe one day I'll try out the D-Box, like you said, if I'm feeling adventurous for a special movie, maybe I'll see what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it then, finally, for this week. Thanks to Mike for reminding me of our final question, or else I would have glossed completely over it. But as always, don't forget that you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you want to have your questions answered, especially if we don't already answer them in the meat of the show, hit up myself or Mike on Twitter. Mike, as always, what is your Twitter number?
Mike_TechHats.
And I'm JoshSmith_82. And be like Bill in Burlington and be like Gregory and post your questions in the comments section of the revamped Three Down Nation. There's been some changes over there. I hope you like them. You know, if you got any thoughts about it, just let me know, because it's I'm always curious to hear what people have to say about things when they change. So that's it for Podski Wee Wee this week. I am Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.